Hello, you're stuck in traffic with Wolf Gorlick, a couple minute riff on IT and IT security. Today, looking at SQL injection with stored procedures. So, one of the things I always find interesting is the unexpected success or the unexpected failure, right? The time when you absolutely positively thought you had it and you didn't. Or the time when you're like, oh, there's no way this is going to work. Everything's stacked against us, and suddenly things take off in a way that not only exceeds your expectations, but completely blows your mind. It's those unexpected moments that can lead to good insights and can lead into the inspiration for the next thing. So in a recent pen test, when it was unexpectedly resilient to SQL injection, I started looking at. So the tip for you is, take a look at how your apps are architected and know two things to protect against SQL injection. One is stored procedures. Two is separate accounts. So stored procedures, right? The traditional SQL injection, you're injecting SQL commands into another SQL command. That command runs. When you use a stored procedure, what ends up happening is you do the injection, but that injection then gets passed the procedure, which is parameterized. It looks at that parameter and goes, whoa, that's a query and I expected a number. Done, right? Dead, stopped. So that's a very good way to stop a lot of common SQL injection attacks, because you can't, if you pass in that query, the parameter catches it and the underlying error checking kicks off. Now, if that doesn't work, or if you're not using stored procedures across the realm, another way to contain the damage is using separate accounts, right? So you may have an account that has permissions to a certain set of tables that are necessary for a function within the application, right? So by reducing the amount of privilege of that account, you reduce the impact of a SQL injection flaw. Because now if I compromise a injectable query that's run by that account, I can still only get access to those tables. I can't get access to drop a table or execute a shell, or get users and passwords, right? You create separate user accounts for functions with applications, and you restrict those permissions to just the tables that those applications use. Neither of those things are particularly easy to do. I mean, they're easy to do when you're building. They're not easy to do after the fact, and they're definitely not easy to do if you're maintaining apps, but it's so strong because, and this gets back to an earlier story, we're doing a test, and we kept getting SQL injection. Again and again and again, which is good for an application pen tester. Bam, SQL injection, fantastic. But half the time, they would just get back an error and couldn't get any further. Stored procedures, spoiler alert. And the other half of the time, when they're actually able to trigger that, the red team was like, "All right, we got it. Dump this table." And whoop, nope, permissions denied. That account didn't work, and then of course then triggered off the incident response side on the application folks. Pretty damn handy. You know, they had a flaw. They had an unpatched flaw, right? The quintessential zero day. And that quintessential zero day was stopped by good downstream controls, stored procedures, and SQL injection. I just realized that, and I apologize in advance, we may now see marketing, stored procedures, zero-day threat prevention. No, I'm sorry if that happens. I'm really, really sorry. But seriously, unpatched vulnerabilities can be stopped downstream by good engineering. Good engineering for databases includes stored procedures and shared accounts for your apps. There you go. Hit me up in comments if you agree, disagree, or have some better ideas for stopping flaws in applications related to injection, and I'll catch you later.